حي على الفلاح.
According to the Holy Quran, it is possible for your physical heart to be pumping strong, and you are living healthy as a result. But your true inner heart is unfortunately dead. The Holy Quran regards such people as the walking dead. Therefore, if that heart is dead, then that human essence is dead. Once you reach that point, you are like animals, or as the Holy Quran says, worse than cattle. The Holy Quran speaks in great length about this issue of diseases of the heart in various verses. In Surah Jasiyah, Allah says, "Have you seen him who takes his own lust," meaning vain desires, "as his ilah, God? And Allah, knowing him as such, left him astray and sealed his hearing and his heart and put a cover on his sight. Who then will guide him after Allah? Will you not then remember?" In this verse, Allah says that he is the one who seals the heart, making it not receptive to the truth. He specifically speaks about vain desires, ones that do not benefit the believer in any way and only to satisfy their nafs. Nothing is wrong with desires, as humans need it to stay motivated. But one has to ensure that they're not taking these desires to be their God. As long as the intention is pure and focused on Allah, then satisfying these desires the halal way will get the believer closer to Almighty. Indeed, there is in the body a piece of flesh, which if it is sound, then the whole body is sound. And if it is corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. Ibn al-Qayyim talks about 7 signs of an ill heart. He says, 1, the person does not feel any hurt or pain when he commits evil deeds and sins. We should realize that every action we do, Allah is actually watching us. How ashamed must we feel when we do evil, when we know Allah is watching us? If you knew your parents watched all the evil you get up to, then how would you feel? If I told you that Allah is actually watching you throughout all of the evil that you do, then how do you feel now? On the day of judgment, Allah will show you all of the evil you did, and you will be watching it with disgust and wish you were made into dust because of how ashamed you will feel. So after knowing this, would you ever think about doing such actions again? Ibn al-Qayyim says, the second is the person finds pleasure in that which Allah has forbidden, and he even achieves a degree of rest afterwards, meaning he doesn't have issues with listening to music or drinking alcohol and gambling, and he doesn't have problems with dealing with interests, buying multiple houses with mortgages, and committing all sorts of forbidden actions decreed by Allah. In fact, he's all right with and carries on indulging in them. Ibn al-Qayyim says, this sinner will find darkness in his heart, which he will feel just as he feels the darkness of night. So this darkness affects his heart as the physical darkness affects his vision. For obedience is light and disobedience is darkness. The stronger the darkness grows, the greater becomes his confusion, until he falls into innovation, misguidance, and other things that leads to doom without even realizing, like a blind man who goes out in the darkness of the night, walking alone. This darkness grows stronger until it covers the eyes. Then it grows stronger until it covers the face, which appears dark and is seen by everyone. Abdullah bin Abbas said, Good deeds make the face light, give light to the heart, and bring about ample provision, physical strength, and love in people's hearts. Bad deeds make the face dark, give darkness to the heart, and bring about physical weakness, a lack of provision, and hatred in people's hearts. Ibn al-Qayyim then says about the third signs that a person has an ill heart. He says, the person is more concerned with insignificant and trivial matters. Some people are distressed day and night because of a disagreement with their spouse, son, or relative, or because they have had to forbear criticism, or because of some other trivial event. Such are the calamities of these people. They have no aspiration to higher principles or goals to keep them busy, and they have no noble ambition in their lives to an end for which they can strive day and night. Psychologists say that you should judge everything in proportion to its true value and then put it in its proper place. More truthful than this is the saying of Allah. Indeed, Allah has set a measure for all things. So give each situation according to its size, weight, measure, and importance. And stay away from immoderation or from exceeding the proper bounds. Take from the example of the Prophet's companions, whose sole concern was to give their pledge of allegiance under the tree and thus obtain the pleasure of Allah. With them was a man whose concern was focused on a missing camel, a preoccupation that caused him to miss the pledge of allegiance, and consequently, he was deprived of the reward that were reaped by the others. Therefore, do not be preoccupied with matters that are insignificant. If you follow this advice, you will find that most of your worries will have left you. Ibn al-Qayyim says the fourth is the person dislikes the truth and has difficulty submitting to it and accepting it. We must accept the reality or truth, as it doesn't matter whether it is in our interests or against us. We must never imagine the reality to be always in our favor. Those who want to spread corruption in society always create rumors to satisfy their mean souls. So as a result of continuously deceiving their hearts, they tend to believe their own lies, making their minds blind. The fifth is the person finds relaxation among the disobedient sinners and to be aggravated by the righteous. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, "Ah, woe to me! Would that I had never taken so-and-so as a khalil, meaning intimate friend. He indeed led me astray from the reminder, and shaitan is ever a deserter to man in the hour of need." It is very important for every Muslim to make sure that his choice of friends and the company he keeps is correct. It has been proven through experience that habits and behavior of friends and associates slowly manifest in an individual. Without realizing, a person begins to adopt the style and behavior of his friends. We are all witness to this fact. Sadly, we can recall many incidents where those who were pious, religious, and of good character lost all their good qualities because they kept company and associated with an inappropriate circle of friends. We have also seen others who were drowning in sin and evil, who underwent a complete revolution with their lives after adopting the company of a pious person of huge moral standards. We need friends who are sincere, genuine, and true, and also true in their friendship. Those who care for our well-being from every aspect are true friends. Whereas on the other hand, worldly friends are not only a waste of time, but also on the day of Qiyamah, they will be a means of destruction. The Quran says in Surah Al-Muttaqin, "All friends on the day of Qiyamah will be enemies of one another, except the God-fearing." Here the Quran is not saying that friends will not help or benefit each other in that day. It is saying something much stronger, that friends who are not God-fearing will be the enemies of each other on the day of Qiyamah. Ibn al-Qayyim talks about the sixth sign of an ill heart. He says the person who is overwhelmed with doubts and affected greatly with misconceptions, and they're attracted more to such discussions, like discussing the ruh, than to the recitation of the Quran. Doubt about Islam is classified by scholars as a disease of the heart that needs to be removed through certain knowledge. However, it is inevitable that a believer will experience doubt at some point. People naturally want to see more proof or evidence to substantiate the divine revelation. These are simple doubts that are cured by learning more about Islam and experiencing more of Allah's signs. Experiencing these doubts is not blameworthy. In contrast, serious doubts that are rooted in arrogance or denial may rise to the level of unbelief. Therefore, the believers need to insulate themselves from doubts and protect their faith as if it were a precious treasure being menaced by thieves on all sides. It is incumbent upon us to erect walls around our faith and fortify it from external threats. Believers should have a closer relationship with the Quran by memorizing it as much as possible and understanding its language, meaning, interpretation, and rulings. Knowledge of the Quran enhances the ritual prayers of believers, among other things, which is the mainstay practice of faith. In addition, believers should have a close relationship with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and acquire knowledge of his authentic sunnah and prophetic biography, seerah, his life and teachings full of signs and wonders that demonstrate he was indeed a messenger from Allah, calling us to worship our Creator alone and to accept eternal life in the hereafter. And the final sign Ibn al-Qayyim talks about an ill heart is a person who is not affected by admonition. The condition of a person's heart determines their receptiveness towards divinely revealed admonishment. A heart that is darkened by sins over time becomes dead and hardened, so that sincere reminders of deen do not have a humbling effect upon it. This effect of sins also becomes apparent on a person's ability to listen keenly and with focus to the recitation of the Quran, as well as to its verbal explanations and admonitions. A person whose heart is hard will not be able to listen to the Quran, nor to any Islamic lecture or talk. Either they will get up immediately and leave the room or gathering where the admonition is unwittingly falling into their ears, or they will try to switch the topic of conversations, or they will hastily occupy themselves with something else to divert their mental and visual attention, such as calling someone up on their phone or opening up a book, magazine to read. Eventually, as a person drifts more and more away from deen, neglecting to fulfill any of its obligations completely, their aqidah, meaning belief system itself, becomes shaky and distorted, and their heart completely loses the ability to take heed from the Quran. Know, O beloved, that it is most important to spend one's time and energy in treating the heart and hastening to correct and purify from sickness and all sins. This is due to the heart occupying a great and lofty position in Islam, for it is the place to which the Lord looks and the storehouse for tawheed, faith, and sincerity. Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, "The heart has been singled out for this because it is the leader of the body. And through the purification of the leader, the subjects become purified. And with his corruption, they become corrupted. So if you, O servant of Allah, wish to cure your heart, then it is upon you to be truthful with regards to seeking refuge with Allah and putting your trust in Him, to pray a great deal of supurgatory prayers, to perform the actions of obedience to Allah, to pray the night prayer while the people are sleeping, and to treat your heart by making it continuously stick to the remembrance, and by befriending only the righteous, and to frequently recite the Quran.